Thank you. Salvation. Father, we worship your name. We praise you, God. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus, you deserve the praise. shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Sing, worthy is your name, Jesus.
Jesus, You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. For worthy is your name. One more time. Worthy is your name, Jesus.
You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
You are worthy, Lord, to receive all glory, all honor, all worship, all adoration. Thank you, Father, for your loving kindness, your tender mercies, your peace which passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for divine health. Thank you, Lord, for divine abilities. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your tender mercies. Thank you, Lord, for your chesed. Oh, we give you praise for grace. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name forever. Take full control of this time. Take full control, Lord. Take charge. And bring us to the destiny that you have ordained even before the foundations of the earth for us to arrive at today. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise, Lord. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, God is good. All the time. Amen. You may be seated. I bless you in the name that is above every other name. The name of our sovereign Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you guys to just hang around. I want one more song from you after everything. So if you don't have one, find one. I need three people to help me here. Okay. Come, Missy. No, not her. Yeah, come. Come. No, her. Okay. I need one more person. Come. Yes. Come. Tear it. Just rip it. Tear it. Yeah, rip it. That was easy. Tear it. Wow. Tear it. Wow. That came from inside here? Yeah? So the paper that's in here is the same paper here? Huh? Same one? Same exact paper? Yeah? Okay. Same exact paper? Okay. Tear this one. Tear the whole book. You can't? Okay. Teared. You can't? Okay, you tear it. No? It's the same paper. Same exact thing that you taught before. Why is this one not tearable?
It has more pages inside.
It has more pages inside?
It's more than one.
It's more than one.
Yes.
So if I had all of this paper individually, you'd be able to tear it?
No.
No, if I give you all of these pages, everyone all over the place, you'd be able to tear it like you tore that one? You don't know? Okay, let's try. This one more paper here. Imagine that this paper is the same as all of this, and they are all over the place. Will you be able to tear it? Interesting. Will you be able to tear it? Wow. Okay. Let's try something here. It's the same paper, right? Even me, I'm finding it difficult to tear it. They're all together. Is it as easy as tearing this one? Try it. It's not that easy. You finally did it, but it was not that easy. So why do you think? It gets thicker?
Yeah.
Okay. All of this paper here, they are one. Yeah? So when they became one, it became difficult. Yeah? That's what unity does. When we work together in unity, it is very difficult to tear us apart. That makes sense?
Yes.
So what is the lesson?
Is that when you have lots of people together, you can...
Give me a mic. I like this answer.
When you have lots of people together...
Mic on, please. Oh, it's on? Testing. Okay.
When you have lots of people together, it's harder to destroy them.
Ah, out of the mouth of babes. Thank you, go sit down. You did very well, all of you. I left my wallet. I need 320s. Somebody give me 320s, quickly. 320s. I'll give it back to you, don't worry. 320s. Who's got 320s? Good. You got two. That's one for you. That's one for you. Where's the other one? Okay. Oh, wow. Remember to come collect it back. I'm not going to run after you to give it back to you. Praise the Lord. Bless you. That's yours. Go. Thank you. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Unity. It's a powerful thing. Unity means that we cannot be easily broken. You may be weak, but if I'm strong and we link up together, my strength travels to you and strengthens you. We are not always all strong, but together we're strong. Somebody shout hallelujah. I used a book to illustrate. But really what I wanted to use to illustrate to you about the power of unity was the African broom. The African broom is made out of the center of the palm. Each one is easily broken. But when you put that broom together, try to break it. It may bend, but you're not going to break it. I don't know what you've been going through all week, all month, all year. But this I say, together we'll defeat the enemy. Amen? Unity. It is the place of the commanded blessing. God commands the blessing. You know, the word of God says God spoke and he said and things happened. But when it comes to unity, the Bible says God commanded. He didn't just say, he commanded. That means that anything that tries to stop what unity is about to produce, God will adversely come after that thing. May God fight your enemies. Oh, I don't know if you heard. I say, may God fight your enemies. Whatever wants to break you must be broken. Somebody shout hallelujah. Whatever the agenda of the enemy is, God, who is greater, who is mightier, who is the bigger than the biggest? Do we know that song? Yeah, I think I'll like that one. He's stronger than the strongest. He's faster than the fastest. He's richer than the richest. The God you serve is a good God. Amen. You know, growing up, there used to be a caramel candy that Mama used to love called Goody Goody. Remember Goody Goody, Pastor Henry? Goody Goody. God is Goody Goody. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's not the song. Is that the song? The center of it all? He's the one that he's bigger than the biggest? Oh, okay. Just before we do that, where's Sister Kika? Just come. Take care of your announcement real quickly. And we're going to sing this song and we're going to bless the children.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, the children department are presenting one day summer event on August 26th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's a Saturday. So the program is for the children. And we want the parents to drop their children off. If they want to volunteer for us, they can stay. But the program is mainly for children. So it's going to feature like career talk, games, Bible quiz. So the children, I want you to start getting ready, prepare yourself, because let me tell you a secret. There's going to be a gift for every question answered. And there'll be refreshment. So please employ our parents to prepare our children for that day. And we need your support also. We need your support. We need your support in the way of the gift and cash also is welcome. So it's going to be like 4 hours program on that Saturday. And we pray that the Lord will hold the day for us. And it's going to be a blessing to us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Where did this come from? It's yours? Amen. Praise the Lord. As this song is going on, I want the little ones to come up. Amen. Just worship God right up here, up front. Go ahead.
Sing all together. You are bigger than the biggest. 3, 4.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater
than the greatest.
Bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest.
Sing it. You are bigger, Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater.
Sing it. You are bigger, Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger.
I want the congregation to rise in just a moment. You can sit down meanwhile. When we start praying, I want you to rise. This is a very dear daughter, and this house. Ariana, we've seen her grow in this house, and she's experienced the miracles of God. The things that this young lady is doing today, if the devil had his way, she wouldn't have been able to do it. She should be walking around with some kind of a tank to give her some extra energy. The devil is a liar. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. You know, we don't do a lot of testimony time, and we should, really. Because there are things that happen in the congregation that you have no clue about. This young lady, let me just say, it's a walking miracle. But this is going to be not the last time she's with us, but the last service that she's going to be experiencing with us for a short while. She'll be back. She's going west to school under a great scholarship, doing what she loves to do, sports that she should not be able to do. If the devil had his way, she should not be doing it. But she has a scholarship because God is a God that heals to the utmost. Somebody shout hallelujah. Young ones, every one of you, every one of you. We don't just expect, we know that God has already provided for you. Amen. You will never struggle. Amen. In your lives. Amen. 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 It is the word of God. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we're going to pray for her. The prayer of thanksgiving. We're going to prophesy over her life the goodness of the Lord. And it cannot be stopped. There is nothing. It doesn't matter who says anything that is not what God wants for you. It shall never come to pass. But what God has for you cannot be stopped.
Amen?
Amen? So the doors are open. And they will always be open on time. You're not going to have to wait. You know, sometimes you walk in towards those automated doors and you get close to it and it's still not opening, and then it finally opens. No, there's not going to be a waiting time as you are coming.
Hallelujah.
Hey, Jesus is Lord. Amen. I was looking for her. And she was busy taking care of things for you guys. So I want you to prophesy the goodness of God over her life. Amen? Hallelujah. Now let everybody rise. Stretch your hands and begin to prophesy the goodness of the Lord over Ariana. Prophesy. Speak what you would like for your children to experience. Barada bo shekele barada basikale. Reveal your glory, Lord. Power of the living God rests upon this daughter. Show yourself, O God, mighty in the life of Ariana. The blessing of the Lord is upon you. Pour the oil of God's favor upon you. The oil of prosperity. The enemy will not see you coming. You will always surprise. In the name of Jesus. Peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. I pronounce over you. You will see what others cannot see. You will always be at the right spot at the right time. In the name of Jesus. That it will be said, how did she anticipate that? How did she know that that's where that was going to happen? Your timing shall be so exact in the name of Jesus that it will cause you to experience greatness in every area of your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I bless you, daughter of the Most High God. Go with the Father's blessing. Somebody help me here. Jesus is Lord. Receive it. All of it. In the name of Jesus. Of God in the name of Jesus. Receive it. 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 In Jesus' name. Center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. God bless you.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see.
It's you that I see.
Thank you so very much. Bless you all. God is good. Amen. Obviously, you don't see Mama here this morning. She is well. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, I was here this morning praying and seeking the face of the Lord about all that He wants to say to us. The phone rang and I picked it up because it's so unusual to get a call from her, and she said, "You know what, I'm so tired today, this morning. I'm not going to be able to make it." So I prayed with her, went home and saw her. She was still lying in bed, just tired. We've been away. But anyhow, she's strong in the Lord. Amen. By the time I left, she went on to shower, but she couldn't make it this morning. But you can always pray for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, this morning, I want to explore something with you. It might take me a while to go through this discuss, but I want you to be very attentive. I want you to listen and have understanding. One of the things God has graced me with, and I thank God for it, is the grace to teach the Word of God, to break it down. Because there's nothing as terrible as knowing something but not knowing how it works. Because if you don't, when it breaks down, you're always trying to find help from somebody. And what if there's no help? It's important to know how things work. It's important for me to understand why it is important for me to praise God. Amen? Because if you don't understand the reason why you need to praise God, when you're going through a bad time, you won't praise God. But when you understand that God inhabits the praises of His people and you are weak, you know that in praising God, you get strengthened. You've got to understand why you do what you do. Why do we give offerings? What's the point? Obviously, God has no need. Yes? And the God who created all this stuff, He could just provide whatever it is that you need and not ask you for an offering. Hello? Are we together? So why does He request an offering? If you don't understand that, when you don't have, you will stop giving. When you don't understand that God multiplies the seed that you sow, that the key to getting out of your mess is investing in the things of God. If you don't understand that, you look at the natural and not step into the realm of the Spirit. In understanding that God says it is better to give than to receive. Why? Why? But when I have an understanding, I do not allow my circumstances to determine what I do. I do what I do because I know it is a key for entrance. When you come to this church, you will notice something, that before a prayer is even said, there is praise and worship. Why do we do it? Because the Word of God says, enter. That's how you enter. Why do we give offerings when we just come? You know, just come and give your offering. It's an expression of thanksgiving unto the Lord. We don't do it because we got to do something. No. We do it because it is the Word of God. That makes sense? So enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. The gates of God. Enter into His gates. Oh, gates. Gates represent the seat of government. The place of governance. In the Old Testament, leaders sat at the gate to make judgment. Example, even in our city, the mayor of the city will give you the keys to the city. Yes? The key to the city. That is a key for entrance. It is given by leadership. Okay. So when the Word of God says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Oh, this is going to help me. This is going to help you. It is talking about you and I entering into the place, that gates, that place of governance, of leadership, with the expression of thanksgiving. Because if you are not thankful, you're going to be led by somebody else. Please hear this. I'm giving you line upon line. We're going to start running very, very soon. Enter into the seat of governance. Enter into His gates. The place of leadership in God. Enter it with thanksgiving. And enter into His courts with praise. So when we come, first thing we want to do, sow a seed. A seed as an expression of thanksgiving unto God. And we come into the courts of God with praise. Now, when you think about the word courts, you're talking about the place of judgment, as in a court, but you're also talking about an open sphere. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, talk back to me when I ask you. An open area. Now, the courts of God is not a veranda. It's not a hallway. It's an expanse. An opening. The courts of God, past the gates. The gates, that's a good place. You enter through the gates, but you step into court. Okay. When we came through those doors, the door was this wide. But we stepped, let me put it this way, the door can never be bigger than the room. Hello? Hello? So when you come through the gates of God, you step into an opening, an expanse. And you do that praising God. It says, be thankful unto him. Amen? Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. And his mercy is everlasting. The mercy of God is what? Everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. The truth of God will go from one generation to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other, forever. Amen? But how do we experience all of this? What is on God's mind? I'm going to talk about this in just a moment, about this court and all that is happening there. We're going to spend time one of these days to talk about the tabernacle in the wilderness, because it's a representative of that which is in heaven. Yes? Okay. But today I want to explore something with us. Actually, let me do this before I go to the thrust of the message this morning. Let me do this. The Bible tells us about the tabernacle in the wilderness. You come through these gates, there are three tribes on this side, three tribes on that side, three tribes on that side, three tribes on this side. But right at the center of where the gate is a tribe called the tribe of Judah. Amen? The tribe of what? Judah. Judah means praise. Amen. You come through that gate, and the first thing that you see happening is the altar where burnt offerings are offered unto God. It's the first thing. You see it there. And they bring all these animals, and they are sacrificing animals unto God. It covered their sins. It covered all kinds of issues. But ultimately, it was as they came in praise. Watch this now. The sin offering and all of that is going to happen on the inside. But what are they doing and what are they thanking God for and praising God for as they're coming in? It was an expression of something called faith. You know that thing? What is it called? Faith. So by faith, they come in with thanksgiving, knowing believing that God is the God who is going to forgive them every sin, cleanse them from all unrighteousness, and establish them in his goodness. So they come and they offer all of that. And it's a bloody sight. They go past that point. The priest goes past that point, and it comes to what they call the laver. The laver was like a big basin, so to speak, and was filled with water. Are you with me? It's filled with water. So when the priest comes there, what does he see? He sees himself. Hello? Are you with me? He sees himself. But he just came from a bloody mess. He can't take that bloody mess inside there. So he washes his hand. What does he now see? He sees the blood. Come on, come on, come on. Are you with me so far? When he first came, he saw himself. But after he washes his hand, he sees the blood. He no longer sees himself. He sees the what? The blood. When you are coming to the presence of God, the first thing you see is yourself, your sinful self. But as you wash by the word of God, all you now see is the blood. Hello? You no longer see yourself. If you keep on seeing yourself, you have not been at the place of the sacrifice.
That's right.
Oh, somebody help me. I said, if you are still seeing yourself and you wash your hands and you still seeing yourself, you were not at the blood. You did not sacrifice anything. People who have not sacrificed will keep on seeing themselves. Those who have sacrificed, when they come by the water of the word, no longer see themselves. They see the blood. When I see the blood, I will do what? The destroyer will what? Pass. When you honor God with a sacrifice and you come with the mixing of the word of God, guess what happens? God begins to rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that it's no longer you that lives, it is him that's living in you and through you. But it happens because you first start with praise in faith, and you start also with the sacrifice. Because if you've not sacrificed, there will be no seeing of the blood. Hello? Anybody listening yet? Are you getting the point? So, he goes past there, and he comes into the holy place. Now, in the holy place, on the right side, was the table of showbread. And on the left side, and I'm going to go more in detail in the days to come, the table of showbread and the candlestick on the left. Now the high priest is carrying a bowl with the blood in it. He's going to take that blood and he's going to sprinkle it in the most holy place. He's going to sprinkle it at a place called the mercy seat. But when he comes in, there's this table of the showbread. And the bread represents the word of God. But it also represents a special offering called the offering of wheat. Because it's from that wheat and all of that stuff that that bread is made. But the Lord tells us, when he went through his trial and his temptation, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. I want you to take note of that. The words that proceed forth out of the mouth of God. So this here represents the word that's coming forth out of the mouth of God. It's right there. But on this side is a candle, the lamp. What is that doing? This one, the bread over here, gives life. You eat it and you live. This one here represents the light that he spoke, that he commanded to come out of darkness. The first words of God, let there be what? Light. So light here. Light. What does light do? Light does not take. Light does what? Gives. Light that takes is a black hole. It sucks life out. This light here is given. It's the only light in this particular tabernacle, in the holy place. He steps past there, and there is the altar of incense. The altar of incense. What is the altar of incense? The altar of incense represents prayer. But it also represents the offering. So what do you mean? Well, let me take you real quickly to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 4. Acts 10, 4. Actually, let me go to verse 1, verse 1 through 4. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much what? Alms to the people and did what? Pray to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour, and the ninth hour is the hour of fruitfulness. Amen? In the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy what? Prayers and thine what? Alms are come up for a what? Memorial before God. Two things came up. What two things? His prayers and his alms, his offerings. They have come up before God for a memorial . And who is this Cornelius? He's a centurion. He's a Gentile. And he's the first person. Someone say first person. One more time. First person. Whose household is going to receive the Holy Spirit, and he's a Gentile. Yes? Somebody who should not know God in a very personal way. But somehow, faith. Someone say faith. Faith. Say it again. Faith. Faith. One more time. Faith. had connected him to the people of God. Not dissimilar from a man called Caleb. Caleb represented the tribe of Judah in going to the land of Jericho, the promised land. And Caleb was not a Jew. But he connected by faith to the tribe and was so connected that the people of Judah said, "You represent us." Are you with me? If you want to know more about this, I want you to listen to the message called The Caleb Anointing. In fact, I will encourage everybody, go find that message, The Caleb Anointing. It's on YouTube. Go listen to it. Because I describe Caleb and Joshua and the difference between both of them. So, you come to this place, and two things are happening. What I've not told you yet is that everything about the tabernacle is about giving. It's about Jesus, and it's about giving. Everything. Everything about the tabernacle, from the entry to the end. Now, remember we talked about the memorial, right? Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. Revelation 5 and 8. It says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps." Having every one of them what? Harps. Now, what do you think the harps were used for? For praise. Okay. "And golden vials full of odors." Golden vials that were full of odors, which are the what? The prayers of the saints. So, while the saints are busy praying, it is coming up as these odors that have been caught up in these vials. Are you with me so far? Okay. Now, let's go a little bit further and look at Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3. It says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne." So there's all of this. This angel is moving this back and forth. It says, "And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands." Hallelujah. Something's happening there. Prayers are rising. But the word of God already tells us concerning Cornelius that there are two things that are coming up. His prayers and what? His arms. And the arms were a memorial unto God. Now, go with me to Luke chapter 1 and verse 10. Luke 1 and verse 10. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, it was his turn to serve in the temple. And he's behind the scenes, and he, at the time of prayer and the time of incense, is doing his thing behind the veil, and the people are waiting. He says, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of what? Incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is what? Heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name what? John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. So here's Zechariah. He's worshiping. He's doing his thing, just like it is at the altar of incense. And the angel shows up and talks to him and reveals to him that he, Zechariah, and the wife Elizabeth are going to have a child. And then said, this child's name shall be called John. Are you with me so far? The name of the child is going to be called what? Okay, that's unusual. Because the name of that child should be connected to his family. That's how you trace your genealogy. And so when the wife finally gave birth to the child and said the name is going to be John, everybody argued with her and said, absolutely not. Nobody in your family line has that name. You cannot have that name. So they said, let's go ask Zechariah. So they went to Zechariah and they asked Zechariah, what shall the name of the child be? And he says, starts writing. And as he wrote, he pronounced the name. He said, the name shall be called what? John. But he said, nobody in your family has, but that's the name. Why? Because God was starting a new thing. Somebody listen. God was doing what? Starting a new thing. Not the old ways. A new thing. So the priest goes past that altar of incense, and he steps into a place called the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies has this thick veil. And nobody was allowed into that most holy place except for the high priest. And what is he going there with? He's going there with the blood. And he goes with that blood, and he comes. He doesn't sprinkle it all over. He sprinkles it at the mercy seat. But watch. At the mercy seat, there is the face of a man looking down. And all the man sees is the mercy seat. All he sees is what? The mercy seat. Now, what are you seeing? Just like the blood at the laver, where you're no longer seeing yourself, but seeing the blood, which was shed, which was given. All God wants to see is a sacrifice. Oh, my Lord. Where are you guys this morning? All God wants to see is the sacrifice. Did you hear that? God wants to see one thing. The sacrifice. Now let me put it this way for you. When the Bible says life is in the what? In the blood. Yes? Okay. The life is in the blood. So if you are alive, your blood is moving. Yes? Okay. We accept that? So actually, when you go to work because you are alive, you are being paid for your life being spent. Did you get that? Did I lose you? Are we on the same page? You're paid for your life, which is in your blood. So you are... You're being paid for your blood. Did you get that? Did I lose you? No? Okay. So when you bring your money to God, you bring in your sacrifice. You bring in what? Your sacrifice. If it doesn't cost you something, it's not a sacrifice. If it's costing you nothing, you are operating by your own vision, by your own ideas, and you, even when you are speaking the word, it does not resonate because it's not the blood that's speaking. Do you remember a guy called Abel? What does the Bible say about Abel's blood? It speaks. Hey? Are you ready to go a little bit deeper? You ready to run now? Put your seatbelts on. Because we're going to really go. This is NASCAR. Now, we're going to go for it. Hello. You need to understand your giving is about sacrifice. It is you agreeing with God with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. You agreeing with God with thanksgiving. So the Bible tells us that listen. The Bible says we were crucified with Christ. If you were crucified with Christ, then you bled with Christ. Oh my Lord. Is this too much? Is it too much? Are you with me? Okay. He said, Pastor, where are you going with this message? I'm talking to you about the importance of your giving. Right. Mercy is enacted and exacted when you are a giver. Because God will now speak for you. Do you know? Okay. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I don't know how quickly I can do this at this point. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 6. Let me start from verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9. And verse 6. The word of God says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Maybe that's all I'll be able to cover for now. But whatever it is I'm going to talk to you about right now, I want you to listen real good. The word of God says, he which soweth sparingly, sparingly, shall also reap sparingly. We understand that, right? Sparingly. Now, and he which soweth bountifully. Do you know what that means? I don't know if you know what it means. You only know one part of it, but get ready now. The word is the word eulogia. It is not just bountifully in terms of bunch. Eulogia means a lot of things. The word eulogia, let me break it up for you. Is the word EU, which means well, logia, speech, speaking. So he which soweth bountifully means he who sows to such a place that what you are sowing is speaking. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. The word of God is saying, he who sows and your giving speaks. Shall also reap speaking excellence. So I can bring $10,000 to the Lord, and the $10,000 doesn't speak. And I can bring a mite, and my mite speaks, because this mite is a sacrifice. Oh, come on, come on. What God wants from me is what speaks. Every time I bring something to God, it's got to speak. Because it is a sacrifice. Your offering must speak. And come as a testament, because when it speaks, it is prophesying abundance. Oh, Shaila Labakote. Is this too much? Are you listening? I pray that it's not coming through one ear and out the other. That you know that every time you give to God, that you are releasing the voice of God in the earth. He says, let all the earth praise him. Then shall the earth yield its increase. As you are investing in God and you bring it, it begins to speak. The altar will begin to speak. It is declaring prayers that you have not prayed. It is catching God's attention. And all God begins to do is look at mercy. Oh my God. You're not getting this. I pray you get it. All God begins, as God looks at the sacrifice that is speaking, He extends mercy. He overrides whatever flaws are in there and says, I extend mercy. 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 I rebuke the devourer for your sake. When you are in a tight place, bring a sacrifice. When you are in a good place, bring the sacrifice. The best thing you and I can do for ourselves is to come to that place where our sacrifice is speaking. Eulogia. Now, let me go a little bit deeper. Eulogia. Well speaking. Eulogia also means praise. So here we sow it with praise, shall reap. You know, when you give unto God, you are declaring a testimony. And the Lord says, the person who stands and is testifying about me, I'm going to testify about them before God and before my angels. Is that what the Word of God says? Did I make that up? It's the Word of God. Okay. Eulogia means laudable. Eulogia means fame. Eulogia means glory. These are all connected to that same word, eulogia. Eulogia. He who sows eulogia shall reap also eulogia. It means blessing. That one word, bountifully. I told you didn't know about it. But most of all, it means well speaking. Because your offering is supposed to speak. It's supposed to speak. Eulogia, logia, logia. Logia or logos is about a word. It's an accounting word. It is the word of God. It is also connected to something we call logistics. Logistics. Now, do I have any IT persons here? Where's, I thought I saw Brad Moses. Brad Bokun? Where did Brad Bokun go? Okay. See, I catch people, you know. Okay. Logistics. You might possibly have seen different trucking companies with so-and-so logistics. Yes? Okay. Logistics is about a platform. Actually, the reason I was looking for somebody, an IT person, is so that they can help us understand what logistics is all about. Logistics is a platform that addresses the issue of inventory, distribution from port. Yes? From port to wherever it is that the stuff needs to go to. Did you get that? Okay. So when we're talking about eulogia, we're talking about the logistics of God. From port to you. Did you get that so much? So, your eulogia, your sacrificial giving, is determining where stuff that have arrived at the port is going to go to. Who it is going to go to. And who is it going to go to? It's going to go to those who have given sacrificially. But eulogia also means that God is going to speak. Remember something the Lord taught us to do. When we bring our tithes and our offerings, we say, Father, speak for me. Amen? I'm bringing this, it is speaking, but I need agreement from heaven. I need an agreement that is going to cause a manifestation. Are you with me? Okay. So the word of God says, watch this. Let's just go a little bit deeper. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. In one sense, God is saying, I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to tell you what to do here. You need to purpose in your heart what you're going to do that is sacrificial. As he purposes in his heart, so let him do what? Give. As you purpose in your heart, give. You want to give sparingly? Give sparingly. You want to give bountifully? Give bountifully. I place before you life and death. Choose life. Hello? God will never force you to give anything. He will tell you, this is what you need to do. Now, when you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, you're choosing death. When you know what you ought to do and you do it, you're choosing life. And the word of God says, God is the God of the what? The living. Not a God of the what? Dead. Your sacrifice has to have life. It sacrificed life. Release to God. God, I am giving you something that cost me something. I release it to you. Speak. Receive this offering. Receive it. Receive it. You know, the Bible talks about the story of a prophet that was ministered to by the angel of the Lord. And the man of God says, please wait. I need to bring something. He says, okay. So he brought it and he put it on a stone. The Bible says it was consumed. And how did the angel go up? Through the smoke. The angel rode that cloud up. Your sacrifice means a lot to you. It does nothing for God. It does everything for you. Amen? So when you give, know why you're giving. Know that this is part of the way that God gets you to connect with Him. Participate with Him. Partner with Him in what He's interested in. And that it means something. When you bring that offering, know it means something. And that it's going to speak. It's going to cause the voice of God to be released towards you. Just like it was a memorial before God for the centurion. I'm coming down. You know, a centurion's servant died, was about to die. And the religious leaders who did not care about Jesus' healing ministry. Hello? They hated his healing ministry because it was always cutting through their pride-centered, focused religious system. They humbled themselves and came to Jesus and said, "You got to do something for this guy." Why? Because he loves our people and he's even built a temple. The guy was a Gentile. He's built a synagogue for us. You got to do something for him. You just have to do something for him. And mercy was extended to that man because of his giving. I'm not talking about bribing God. I'm saying the Bible says money answereth all things. Because it's connected to you. It's connected to you. This is part of you that you're releasing. So don't when you come to time of offering, don't squeeze your money like this, you know, so that the people that are counting have to stretch it out to find out what it is. Is that how you want your life squeezed? No, find the best, you know, $100 bill or whatever. You know, once upon a time we used to have the $1,000 bills. How many of you ever handled a $1,000 bill? Oh, good. At least one person. How many of you have ever seen a $1,000 bill? You've seen it? Okay. They stopped making those. I don't know why they stopped it, but they stopped making it. Maybe it's made for some special people. I don't know. They cut it off. But once upon a time, that's what, you know, my sister used to come visit, and I didn't know anything about a $1,000 bill until she came and she was carrying $1,000 bills. I said, "What on earth is that? Let me see that." But I guess they stopped doing it because, you know, in the world of fakery, you know, some people say, you know, and if you give somebody change with a $1,000 bill and it's fake, oh my, you've lost. So they stopped it. But the word of God is this: as you purpose in your heart, give, so let him give, not grudgingly, not with grief. And don't give out of necessity. Why is that? God wants you not to feed into the realm of need. Because if that is the soil that you sow into, need, then needs are going to be created all around you. So God says, "I want you to just sow bountifully in a way that speaks and prophesies so that there is no need or lack in my house." Hallelujah. Give me another 2 minutes and I'll wrap up for this morning. He says, for God loveth. God loves. The word is the word hilaros. And hilaros is the same word that we use for, what do you think that word means? What does that mean, to be hilarious? Happy. Yeah, you just, okay. See, God loves cheerful people who are dancing, celebrating when they come giving, not mournful faces. Oh, it's offering time again. Let me go use the washroom. No. You come to church, you come to the house of God, and you're waiting for that time. Oh yeah, look at that $1,000 bill. Once upon a time. There you go. Hilarious people. Excited people. Celebrating the goodness of God in their giving. God says, I love that. I love seeing that. I love to see my children happy. Happy because they're receiving. No. Happy because they get to give. They get to bring a sacrifice. And the benefit of that is that I look and I speak mercy. I love it because I can rebuke the devourer for their sakes. I love it because I can now channel my angels who are in the department of logistics to transport stuff to their hands wherever they are, wherever they go. The blessing is pursuing after them and overtaking them. Why? They practice sacrifice. Practiced it. Even when I'm not in this house, if I'm able to, I'll still leave my offering at the altar. I leave it before I go, even if I'm not in the service. And there are times when I give when we're supposed to have a service and we did not have a service. Because even though we canceled a service, God didn't cancel a service. Why do I do it? Because I want the favor of God to pursue me and overtake me wherever I go. Whether it's in this country or from another country. Hallelujah. The other day I was somewhere in a different country. And I'm praying and I sat thinking about one of my spiritual sons. And I started blessing him. I did not know he had already given something while I was praying for him. The reason I remembered him was because of his giving. I remember in a service here many years ago, I called a couple. They're sitting up in front. I said, come here. And I blessed them. I did not know, of all the service, they were the only ones that I called up. The Lord said, call them up and bless them. So I called them up, this couple, and I blessed them. I did not know they had put in their offering a trip. Pastor, you got to go on holidays. In the evening service, there was a couple, a lady sitting just over there. I called that one up also in the evening. And I blessed and I blessed. I did not know they had given a very special offering that day. Their offering was speaking. You hear what I said? Their offering was speaking. And I was hearing, pray for this person. Pray for this person. Their offering was speaking. It was a sacrifice. Let your offering speak for you. I may not call you, but God will be speaking. Amen? Somebody say, Lord, speak for me. Say it again, Lord, speak for me. One more time, Lord, speak for me. I will continue with this message another day. But I want you to know that God is very connected to your giving. And that when you're a giver and you've given sacrificially, when you come to the Word of God, when you come to the Word of God, you no longer see you. You see Him. Did you hear that? You no longer see you. You see Him. You see His sacrifice. And you understand that His sacrifice is speaking good things for you. Better things than the blood of Abel. Do you receive that? Then shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me wrap by every one of us reading this verse. Verse 8. Verse 8. Read it with me. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Amen? That's God's agenda. He wants you to come to a place where you lack nothing and every area of your life is fully covered. Do you receive that? Amen. Rise with me. Say with me, Lord, I receive your word. I am transformed by your word. Let my life testify of your goodness. Help me to honor you with sacrificial giving. So, Lord, that my sacrifice will begin to speak. It will speak wholeness, divine health, prosperity, peace, favor, all of the goodness of the Lord, the glory of God manifested in my life. Let the logistics of heaven begin now to move resources into my life. I am not a thief. I'm not a robber. I am a tither. I am a giver. I give sacrificially. I declare this by the word of faith. Help me, Lord, to do so in honor of your name. In Jesus' mighty name, I call it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Release unto God your sacrificial gift of faith. I pray that we'll never be casual with our giving, that we see the importance of it and tap into the benefits of giving. When you and I tithe, we're not yet sacrificial givers. Tithing is not sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving starts beyond your tithe. Amen? and we'll explore that at some other time. But your bare minimum is to honor God with what is rightfully His, your tithe. So if you end 50,000 in the year, and at the end of the year, we're giving you a receipt less than $5,000, you're not a tither. That makes sense? You earn 30,000 in a year, and at the end of the year, you did not get the receipt for at least 3,000, you did not tithe. But tithing is not just giving 10%, it is giving the first 10%. In other words, before anything else, God first. Amen? God first. I honor God first. Now God says that's a tithe. I give Him 10% after I've spent 50%. No, not tithe. It's an issue of honor. Amen? So as we take of this, remember I was talking to you about eulogia? Guess what else eulogia is connected to? The Eucharist, which is communion. Eulogia. Right here. Let God speak for us. Amen? Now, do you understand bountifully now? A little bit better? Okay. I was looking for you. Where were you hiding? You were with Children's Church? Were you teaching there? You were just sitting down there? You went to prepare something? Okay. I was looking for you because I wanted you to answer a big question about logistics, about logia. Is there a platform called logia? Yeah. Probably. Okay. That's not affirmative. So next week, I want to know the answer. Because I'm sure all truth is parallel. I am sure there is a platform. Because the people of the world, they understand a lot of stuff. This is the body of the Lord. This body speaks. This blood speaks. This body says, you are healed. Hallelujah. For He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was bestowed upon Him, and by the stripes that He bore, we are healed. Now notice this. He was wounded. He was bruised. Yeah? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the whipping. The stripes, those were for our peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And for the restoration of health. Today, as you take off this body, as you drink of this cup, may everything that God ordained before the foundations of the world, for the Bible says, Christ Jesus was crucified before the foundations of the world. Let everything God planned happen for you. For His thoughts towards you and I is forever good. His mercies are everlasting. Take and eat. In Jesus' name. This is the blood that cleanses from all sin. the blood of sacrifice that speaks on our behalf. As you take off this cup, may God begin to speak for you. Be strengthened in your inner man. Be healed in your physical body. Let the curse be reversed and let blessings abound. Let the earth yield its increase. In the mighty name of Jesus, take off this cup and drink. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. You may be seated for a moment. Let me greet the people on Zoom, and then I want to welcome those that are here in the service.